This is WMUA Amherst.
This is a poem that people often tell me they've had a similar thing happen to them. It's about dislocation in time. Driving the Bay Road home. Even today, I'm apt to think, maybe I'll buy that house, get married, have a couple of kids, especially in March when driving the Bay Road home. Late in the afternoon with snow around and blue clouds going plumb as the sun's not quite down. And then I remember I've done all that. The house is mine, the husband dead, the children grown.
We're listening to Driving the Bay Road Home, read by the poet Zane Kotker. You're listening to Poetry a la Carte. I'm your guide and reader, Daisy Mathias. Zane, welcome to Poetry a la Carte.
I'm very happy to be back.
Zane lives in Northampton, Massachusetts, and has published 4 novels, received a fiction grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, and was included in the American Audio Prose Library. She has published short stories. See her website, www.zanekotker.com, and a book of poetry, Old Ladies in the Locker Room and Pool, published in 2011 by Finishing Line Press. The Mass Center for the Book said, "In Old Ladies in the Locker Room and Pool, Zane Kotker has utilized a life's worth of experience and the trained sense of a novelist to create a clear and poignant collection of poems on the gifts, vagaries, and ruminations of aging, a quietly masterful and engaging work," unquote. Can we hear another poem from that book, Zane?
Yes, I'll read section 1 of the title poem, Old Ladies in the Locker Room and Pool. Locker Room, Artist's Assessment. Intent on anecdote and getting dry, we naked ladies stroll about the locker room, toweling pendulous guts and grain-fed haunches, unperturbed by flesh that hangs off arms, still damp from Windex-colored water, soft as air. Lucian Freud has nothing on us ladies here. Young women move among us like the gods, mothers with 1 and 2-year-olds, undress the perfect bodies at their knees, pull bathing suits up over training pants, crooning, "Don't fuss, good job, good job," then shed their own cocoons of winter wool. So beautiful they are, their rounded forms. We understand Renoir, forgive his repetitions, try to grasp exactly how we got from them to us.
Zane, you joined us last in January 2007. You were writing poems then, but in the interim, you've published short stories. Why poems now?
A few Januaries ago, I got a phone call from Corinne Demas, a writer, children's book, adult prose, saying that our mutual friend David Stempel was dying. He had heard he had 2 months to live, and he wanted to spend that 2 months writing some poems, as he'd done as a young person. He had been involved in computers most of his life. So we went over. We went over to his house 12 Wednesdays in a row. After the first session, when we listened to his poems and responded to them, as we were leaving, he called out, "Next time, you two bring poems." It was not something you could say no to, even though we hadn't written poems for a long time. But we brought them, and somewhere in the middle of those 12 Wednesdays, we found ourselves coming out from a session and throwing our arms around each other in the driveway and saying, "Why is this the high point of my week? What's wrong with me?" Because David was a wonderful man, and it was an intense situation. But also, we were just so thrilled to be writing poems again. Now I've kept on with a changing cast of characters, but we have a little meeting every few weeks to read to each other.
That's wonderful. Let's hear another poem.
The weather as. She thinks of the weather as a lover, makes romance by dressing for it. India cottons, sandals for the heat, exact number of layers for the cold, a hat for wind, clogs for the rain. So when she misses, finds herself sweatered on a sunny day, it's as if they've quarreled, as if his letter hadn't come, as if she said too much too soon, declared desire not matched by his, as if she breathes alone.
Zane, I have a question for you, and that is, how is writing a poem different from writing stories or a novel?
Well, first of all, the obvious way, it's a lot shorter. But the major difference for me is, one major difference, is that lines for poems just come into your head. You know, you wake up in the morning and there is a line. That happens more in novels or stories. It happens with a situation. You sort of think, oh, this character might do that, but it's not about the words that way. So it's enormous fun because it's like found material, and then the work comes later when you try to make it gel.
So do you do a lot of editing?
Of poetry, yes, I do. And also, I am writing a novel now, a historical novel set in the year 100, and that's, you know, a lot of research and a lot of timeline, a lot of knowing what's going to come next.
So what poem would you like to read now?
Well, this one's a little tough. I am really still working on it. My husband had multiple sclerosis for 22 years, and this poem is something that a number of people go through, and here it is. Entry into nursing home. This man took me to Galilee and on to Petra in the sand, over the sea to a white Greek town before we settled down. When our kids were 5 and 3, he took us all to London for the changing of the guard, westward to Stonehenge to step out of time. For my 50th, he managed Rome, resting while I explored alone. And now I'm wheeling him past all these open mouths, past a drool and snore, past a man who reaches for my thigh, a thin-voiced woman calling, help me, help me, down a corridor that smells of piss and Clorox, age's stern perfume. And now we're turning left around a corner, and I am wheeling him into a room. It's painted pink, with bedspread folded on bare mattress, sure sign that someone died last night. And I don't want to stop the chair, don't want to press down on the brake, don't want the journey to end here, don't want to stay, don't want to go, don't want.
Zane, I've read and thoroughly enjoyed your chapbook, Old Ladies in the Locker Room and Pool. Tell our listeners who may not have read these poems, if they are all about older women in a swimming pool, all about aging, tell us a little about them.
Well, no, they're not. They're 21 poems. 12 of them are about older women. They're only in the pool in that one poem. 9 of them are not. 9 of them are more about the human condition, I guess. I am trying to write less personal poems now. And I hope to move in that direction rather than writing about older women.
Although old women in the locker room and pool, it can ripple out to be a metaphor for the human condition, can't it?
Yeah.
So would you like to read another poem from that book?
I would like to read another new poem. Warblers. They were dinosaurs, these heart-beating, warm-blooded, wing-flapping bits of feathered bone that swoop from tree to bush across my yard. They were dinosaurs, and we were angels falling from the sky. Or was it chimpanzees squatting in the trees? No matter, they were dinosaurs, and we were young.
Do you have another poem you can read for us?
Yes, I do. Among the things about growing older is that your friends start to die. And this seems to happen in the 50s. One will die. It'll be the first one who's a natural death. And that is what this poem is for my friend Margot. Margot, first among us. All while you are dying, I am living. Sun burns down through yellow leaves. Steam rises. Earth lies ready to receive. Air seeps into the bellows of our lungs. That's all you do now. Breathe and carry on the hidden chemistries. While I hear crickets in the field, tea simmering, taste apples firm as jicama, feel floor flat against barefoot. Giver of gifts, you give this last to be. Opener of doors, you open first and go.
What for you is the most valuable asset you find in being part of a writer's group?
The response, the help that they give you on your own work, a chance to hear other people's work at various stages. You know what you want to say, but you don't always know if it has come across. And we don't read our own poems to each other. We read the other person's poem.
Oh, you do?
In order to see if the reader can immediately grasp it in the first read, or if they're stumbling, poorly stated, or the reference is too fuzzy, you don't know who's talking, or you realize that the reader isn't getting the emotional thing you want them to get because they're not reading it, you know, they're not connecting it correctly. So that's very helpful.
Can we hear one last poem before we leave today?
Yes.
This has been wonderful.
This is a little, sort of a little love poem for my husband about long ago. Deconstructing your midnight tales. You were the emerald hidden in the grass. You were the statue in a Persian court. A monkey made of sand, you said, shifting, sifting, never losing shape. You were the first lost astronaut, out of orbit in a silver suit. How did I find you, given all this? How did you find me, given all that?